services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 230. I'm Adam, and die. I bring Sutek's gift of death to all humanity. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Murdering swine.
Mary Lang.
I tend to think dimensional transcendentalism is preposterous, but it works.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
It must have been a nasty accident.
It's funny how things go so much smoother when you rehearse things three or four times, is it not?
Yes, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Right then, this week we're looking at pyramids of Mars. How is everybody, by the way? Good, that's right. Yeah. This week, well, I'm only joking. yes, we'll look at pyramids of Mars. I might talk about Monty Python later.
Really?
I might not. There is a Doctor Who
you
connection.
You must.
Oh, I'll talk about it first. Yeah, talk about the pyramids of Mars later. First of all, Monty Python on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I had a terrible time getting to Monty Python. It all started rather well. Got up to Ben Shoveler. Remember Ben Shoveler used to be on the show? We got up at Ben's house about 12 o'clock. We sort of had lunch together. Mainly out of, well, he ate his own lunch. He had crackers and boring stuff like that. And I had a sort of hamper full of things.
I can't believe you didn't get a picture of the two of you together.
Oh, I know. We were just chilling.
You got a picture of each other across the room.
Yeah. I was there for a couple of hours having a chilling out, talking about sports. And it was lovely to be able to talk to him about sport and snoring in the background.
Wake up,
didn't really talk much about. Oh, we did talk a bit about Doctor Who. I mean, if he does decide to come on the show, because I have sent him a message to see if he wants to come on, because he went to Monty Python yesterday. Mm. You see. Kept that one quiet. Yeah, and he was saying, you know, we've had this black and white version of Deep Breath that's come out. And he's watched it.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's also, I don't know if he's read the scripts, but he's certainly watched the episode release. What he did say about it, it's not spoilerific. The one he watched had the Matt Smith title sequence on it. He thought that was a bit disconcerting. And it's not spoilerific to say that he thinks Peter Capaldi's superb, but I think we'd all be rather surprised if he wasn't, wouldn't we? Yes, Kirby.
Well, I was about to say that that's been known about that copy ever since it came out, that it had the Matt Smith
title
sequence.
We haven't
mentioned
it on the show. He's very awkward, isn't he, travel around, isn't it, Kirby? right, moving on. Yeah, so I was there for a couple of hours, and I thought, well, 2:15 came along, and I had to be at the O2 for 6, and I thought, well, the sat-nav said 50 minutes. I thought, that's nice, I can chill around the O2, and maybe have something to eat at one of the highly expensive
eateries.
Establishments. Mm. Anyway, so I set the sat-nav of the O2, and it got me back onto the M3, which was probably the only good thing it did. It told me to get off, when I went on to the M25, to get off heading towards Heathrow. And I thought, that can't be right. I'm pretty sure previous times I went to the O2, it said go towards Gatwick. And in the time of me looking at it, getting confused, looking at the signs, thinking, Gatwick, Heathrow. Well, it must know something I don't know. So I headed off towards Heathrow. And then realised, now then it changed its mind when I headed up towards Heathrow that I was going in the wrong direction.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got off the...
Trust
the,
your instincts, it wanted you to pick up one.
It wanted you to pick up a Gabby Australian.
Yeah. Anyway, I got off the thing and got back onto the M25 going in the opposite direction.
Ouch.
And if that's good, I'm on... And then it said, get off at junction whatever. Why am I getting off at... Okay. And he must know something I don't know. So I got off the junction and ended up back on the M3. I thought, hang on, this is going towards Southampton. I don't want to go that way. I thought, hang on.
You're going home.
I'm not going to get off at that junction. I got off another junction, which said London. And ended up driving on for a little bit. And then ended up in the middle of London at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All the schools are kicking out.
Oh, so
I got right and literally the middle. And I got so confused, I wanted to make sure I was going in the right direction. I had the Maps app on my iPhone up and running to show that I was actually travelling along the side of the River Thames. I was just had it on, was I was worried I was going to end up going across a bridge. I knew I didn't need to go across the river. So that took from 2:15 to 5:30 to get from Ben's house to the O2.
50 minutes, eh? Not bad.
Yeah, driving along the side of the... in virtually standstill traffic.
And you're complaining about this?
And by the time I... Yes, I am, because I should have been there by about 3:15, shouldn't I, really?
Okay.
Not 5:30. So I spent 3 hours driving in virtually standstill traffic through London, trying to avoid the bits where it said congestion charge.
Yes, I was going to say.
Believe it or not, I was going to ask you. I thought there were some sections where you couldn't go in.
Well, it did say it's a 3 miles to congestion charge, and then the sat-nav would take you off in a different direction to where the congestion charge is supposed to be. But I'm half expecting some things to pop through the letterbox soon.
Oh, yes, I'm sure they will. They'll still catch you.
Yeah, not happy. Anyway, I got there
half
past
show?
Five. Well, I haven't got that bit. Got there half past five. Ate what food I had left. Phoned Deb up because I thought she might be a bit worried, as she would expect me to get there a bit earlier than that. And then had a look around the merchandise. And that annoyed me. Got to one merchandise and there's a lovely hoodie. So I said, oh, is all the merchandise here on sale inside? They said yes. Got inside. That was a complete lie. There was a completely different range of...
Yeah.
Well, almost completely different. I did buy a couple of items outside. And then got in there, got a big drink, about that big, about a 2 litre drink, which went down in one because I was so thirsty, because it was really hot, and sat down, and then it was about 2 hours to wait, so I might as well have just carried on driving around the streets of London for a couple of hours before Python went on. Yeah. But yeah, the Pythons arrived in the retardis, so that was, of course, they quickly had to, where's my camera? Because it wasn't obviously there.
Yeah,
very
that was really clever.
And yeah, so that was great. I mean, the show itself was fantastic. It was such a privilege to be there. It really was. I'm so pleased I managed to do it. Because obviously that is it for Python. It said at the end of the show, apart from something off a big sign, it said Monty Python from 1969 to 2014, which draws a line under it completely, doesn't it?
Unfortunately. Now, did they do much new material, or was it mostly reprises of
their TV
skits?
There was very little new material. There was sort of adaptations of sketches to modernise them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there were bits and bobs, songs from films and sketches and a few bits of new material. But people don't really want to go and see new material. You want to see the old stuff. That's what you're going.
Yeah.
That's what you're going along for, to see them redo the parrot sketch. And
did you see the giant
sketches.
Parrot in London at all?
No, I did see a picture of it in the paper.
Yeah, there were pictures all over the internet.
There were. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was well worth it. I'm waiting to hear what Ben thinks of it, but it was really, really good. And it's nice.
I even love the title of the show. It just shows how irreverent they are.
Yes, well, I happen to be wearing my title of the show T-shirt.
One down, five.
So it might be another podcasting onesie to come to follow. Onesie?
Onesie? Podcasting onesie?
Be quiet. Right, let's go start again. Let's
is that
start
for
again.
The winter?
No, no, it's fine. Hello, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode. I'm only joking.
We've done
it. It's time to look at... it's a fantastic Monty Python.
You mean a podcasting selfie?
Yes, I did correct myself.
Okay, but I like the idea
particularly
of a podcasting
moves today, isn't it? Anyway, I'm moving the microphone.
We should get them printed up. That'd be so funny.
Right, it's time to look at Pyramids of Mars.
By the time I got around to ordering a shirt and a mug, he'd gone ahead and changed the logo. So I'm not ordering anymore.
It's not it's an alternative logo. It's not changed, my
Where
dear.
Can you order them from? Because I don't have any merchandise.
Me?
You, okay, fair enough. Could I have?
Yeah, so I need to get a new mug. I think someone's broken my mug at work.
I want
it's
one for work. No, I want it's one for work. My mug went flying across the post office for no apparent reason the other day, which freaked the old ladies out.
Or as they say in Poltergeist, the post
office. You have Poltergeist?
I have no idea. I put it down right at the end of the desk and where it normally goes, right, you know, tucked in well. And suddenly it was in smithereens, powder.
Well, I haven't seen my mug. It's just completely disappeared. Yeah. Normally when mugs disappear at work, it's because they've been used to supply the lorry drivers with sustenance.
Yeah, the lorry drivers.
What side of the island is the town of smithereens?
It's about a hop and a skip from Bamboozle.
Yes.
Strange, what is that? So
I told you they've got cement works and people doing
I thought it was
roofs.
Deb wheeling a trolley. I thought, we are in trouble. Okay, right. Pyramids of Mars. Begins with episode 1, or as they called it in Doctor Who, part 1. It also begins...
I thought it began with the title sequence.
It did. But, it's basically Scarman. I love the old sort of stock footage of Egypt. Mm.
It does segue nicely into them. In
oh, yeah, it works well. The only thing is, there's supposed to be a stone door, and it didn't seem very heavy when they moved the door across.
I like it when he opens the inner door underneath the tapestry really easily.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually written it down, very easy to open door.
That's because it's alien.
I know, but I found it very amusing.
Okay. So, yeah, they find the Eye of Horus, and he goes into the room and gets possessed by a green light. Meanwhile, the Doctor is sulking in the TARDIS and gets his age wrong, apparently, again. And Sarah is in a completely opposite mood, which tends to irritate the Doctor. And it has that sort of irritated the Doctor for the whole of this story, because he's very grumpy for this one. I don't think the actual roundels are a little bit different, I notice, in this particular story. Something different about them.
But, they don't seem quite as deep.
And the blank, the ones behind her, she comes through the door.
Yeah.
The blank. And also the unusual about this one, of course, is the view out through the doors, which they had done in the 60s, didn't they? But they hadn't done for a while in the colour era. Yeah, he's sulking.
Yeah, I think this was the first time that I had a problem watching. It was a long time ago when I was at university, but I was going, wait a second. It was the first time I noticed that the door on the inside, that should have been a corridor or something. I couldn't figure out in my brain how the door was different on one side than the other. Yeah. I'm going, why did they do that? That's logically inconsistent. Oh. And yet it was that way until the revamp in 2005.
I can remember asking my dad about it. Dad, they're going through a really spindly little door. Why is it this huge thing they have to wait to open?
Yeah, because you always hear the spindly door creaking as it opens.
Yeah, exactly. And then this huge blast door has to open instead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's because it's dimensionally transcendental.
Yes, that's true.
Sorry, I'm just writing a message to Nathaniel.
Okay. Meanwhile, Sarah Jane has seen the Mask of Sutekh.
Oh, yes.
Meanwhile, in the TARDIS.
Mental projection.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a very sort of unanimated Mask of Sutekh. It's supposed to be his face, that is, you know?
Mm.
So,
yes.
But anyway, so they arrive in what was supposed to be Unit HQ, but there's now the old Priory, which was apparently burnt down before Unit HQ's.
You kind of know, don't you, as soon as they say it burnt down in that first episode, you're like,
yeah.
I can see where this is going.
I do love the very atmospheric organ music, which is played quite a lot during this episode.
About half of the entire story, all four episodes, 50 minutes of it is background music.
Is it?
Yeah, that's an awful lot of music.
Okay.
That is, isn't it?
Anyway, and we meet Nameen, which is the... apparently, he's wearing something that's rather cool, apparently.
A fez, so,
But this one's got a tassel on it.
Why hasn't the Doctor's fez got a tassel on it?
I thought the Doctor's fez had
one. It wouldn't be a fez without a tassel.
Hmm. Actually, no, it doesn't in the Day of the Doctor.
It doesn't.
It's
not a fez, then. But it is. I'm sure the fez... It doesn't matter. I'm
they
not going to go
got
on
fed up with
fezes.
It not meeting continuity issues or something.
Well, there was a few continuity issues
side,
with this one, actually. There's a scene in which the Doctor sort of has a hat in one shot and then doesn't have it in the next one, but... we'll talk about that later.
Well, there's also continuity issues with people's ties not matching up. They had striped ties that the stripes were going one way, and then the next day that they recorded, they handed them a tie, same color, same stripe colors, but it's going the other way.
Someone tied it left-handed instead of
right-handed.
Yeah.
I would presume you found that out via the info text, because I didn't notice that.
I love the way they crouch down.
Correct.
And the Doctor's hat just scrapes under the level of the window.
I also love the fact that one of Mick Jagger's stipulations was that they would get a wide shot of the whole house as part of the permission to use it. I wonder if he still lives there.
No.
No, he doesn't.
Okay. Well, he wasn't living there even then. His mother was.
Oh, was he? Okay. Well, there you go.
And his daughter was being taken care of by his parents.
Oh, okay.
At that time, because he was in America doing practice for one of the tours.
Okay.
Well, I think it was a good idea to get a wide shot of the house, because later on when it's on fire, you know it's the same house because they've duplicated that wide shot.
Yeah. Anyway, Nameen points a gun at...
the scarf saves the day.
Well, it doesn't, because he ends up getting shot.
Yeah.
Scarves can be purchased from lavazi.co.uk, or replicas of. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure Ian will say that in his feedback. I haven't heard his feedback yet, but
did you like the mummy sandwich I put up on the?
Oh yeah, that was good. Yes.
As soon as I saw that scene, I was like, I'm having that.
You know, he's controlling these mummy things, mummy robots with that ring. It reminded me a little bit of the Yeti. Not necessarily the ring, but there was a way in which the Yeti were controlled. He does recover from this gunshot quite quickly, doesn't he, if I seem to remember rightly?
Yes.
He's clutching his chest.
Well, he needs a little bit of a lie down on a settee for a bit, and then he's up and about.
And Doctor displaying his super strength again. Yeah, carrying him.
And why does he have a sling?
Because he's been shot in the shoulder, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not been
well. No, he wasn't shot in the shoulder. He was shot in the chest.
Yeah,
he'd have a collapsed lung if he was shot in the chest. I would have thought.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you get hit one of those chest muscles, they connect to the shoulder.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary. Medical input there from Mary.
And the toe bone connected to the ankle bone.
So,
thought it connected to the
also
football.
We meet former Isle of Wight resident Michael Sheard, who plays Scarman's brother.
Yes.
Scarman.
Yeah. I noticed when I was writing it down, I actually ended up using their first names because I was confusing myself on my notes. Yeah. Lawrence or Marcus. Yeah. Scarman.
See, look, all he's doing, they just put a bit of like lime Thomas, lime Thomas. Down, he's fine now. No blood, no stitches, he's fine.
He's got a cravat as a sling. Yeah. He'll be all right, just let me sleep it off.
Just a flesh wound.
Yes, merely a scratch.
And isn't Lawrence the dumbest brother in the world? I mean, it doesn't matter what
the doctor tells him, yeah.
He's supposed to be
no matter what the doctor
man,
tells him, no
yeah,
matter how his brother behaves, it's like, oh, no, that can't be.
Even though he's invented this machine so well in advance of its...
4 years in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously he's a quite clever inventor, but no common sense.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
well, that machine would have worked better if the tubes he put on it hadn't been made of wax.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. Yeah, it's a radio telescope, apparently, which... even though
where's the antenna?
Carried on working.
Yeah, Marconi
but there was enough. There was enough on there for the doctor to decipher the word Sutek.
Mm.
On it. I'll tell you what I found about this story. It was extremely well paced.
Mm.
Yes.
And obviously, my favourite bit is the bit that my quote bit is when Marcus arrives in his Darth Vader costume, and puts his hands on Amin's shoulders and says the quote that I says. I bring Sutek's gift of death.
It's funny that he's able to do that there, but from there on throughout the rest of the story, doesn't matter who he touches or what, he doesn't burn anybody else or anything else.
Oh, no, it's not clear what's going on, but as you go through the tunnel, things go through the tunnel, they become hot.
Ah, that's why he's wearing the suit, you see, Mary.
Correct.
So he doesn't burn up.
And even
up.
the doctor,
I didn't get the impression that things got hot.
No.
The doctor comes and goes without getting hot.
Well,
he's a time lord.
He's a time lord. Yes, like I said, it's not made clear that that's what's going on, but that is supposed to be what's going on. And the doctor is able to travel through there without harm.
Yeah,
well, what else travels through there and gets hot?
That tube thing.
The coordinates tube.
The coordinates tube. And when you hear it sizzle when he picks it up, that's because it's his dead hands are cooking against it.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Well, you're right. They certainly don't make it clear. You're right.
So anyway, I'll say the doctor is particularly grumpy in this. He keeps sort of snapping at people. And there's a bit where he's told Sarah to stay behind, isn't he? And he's like creeping through and... he's just like watching what's going on through the gap of the door, and she comes up before him and he sort of waves at her and snarls at her.
Mm. Yes,
a really
I saw
dirty
that.
Look.
He's really cross with them.
Yes, because obviously it does sort of lend to the gravity of the situation, the mood the doctor's in.
I
this
like the convenient
story.
Chest they hid in. That was really cool.
Yeah,
get Lawrence and Sarah Jane comfortably lying down inside a chest.
But wasn't that in Sarah Jane Adventures, The Death of the Doctor, when. She and Joe hid in a chest. I think it was
that
a
was
coffin.
A coffin.
Similar sort of thing. It's a wooden box. Yeah, so... all right, moving on. That's right. The doctor presses a button at the side of the sarcophagus and opens up the thingy, and then there's a big explosion which makes him collapse.
Apparently he uses the TARDIS key to disrupt the tunnel.
Does he?
Yeah, but it's not made very clear. I read it on Wiki, and I was like, no way.
Well, just because it's really Wiki doesn't mean to say it's right.
I know, that's it, but I just was a bit confused about the whole explosion bit.
And then we meet the red shirt poacher.
Clements, the red shirt.
To get killed somewhere along the line.
And that's
that. I was surprised that they were calling him the poacher. I always thought of him as kind of caretaker.
Gamekeeper, sort of?
Yeah. I don't know. But they actually refer to him as a poacher.
He's laid all these traps, hasn't he?
So. He is. He's not taking care of anything.
No, he's trying to.
Taking care of himself, isn't he?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But they allow this guy to just
carry on
do that.
Well, but they're not aware. He's worried about other things, aren't they? He's not hanging around the house.
Yeah, they're sort of concentrating on.
But who says about Clement's hut? Yeah, Lawrence says Clement's got
Lawrence
something.
Lawrence knows about him.
Yeah. Maybe he just keeps him in meat and things.
Yeah, maybe he does. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? At the end of the day, I do love the bit where he's running and he hits the invisible barrier. he does that really, really well. And there's another bit. A stick is thrown at it, and the stick bounces back. Yes.
Master?
Yes.
It's because the techniques they use there are very clever. That when he runs into the barrier, they cut the film so that they were still using outside filming for this. They cut the film so that there's a half second gap there between where he's running and then where they show him on the ground. So it looks like he's fallen to the ground. It's just bang, and he's on the ground. And then there's a piece of elastic tied to the stick, which makes it bounce back.
It's very clever.
Mm. Yes.
Yes, I was impressed with that.
I like the miming as well.
Yeah,
the feeling it.
Yeah. Reminded me of Family of Blood, of course. A similar thing was done with a more sort of effective special effect for the touching of the barrier. And then Scarman comes along to
which one?
With it, Marcus comes along.
The dead one.
Yeah, the dead one.
His old friend, which is just about to get done in by a.
He
could have killed him there, but he just throws him onto the couch and he forgets.
Lawrence!
Or words to that effect. Yeah. So,
Clements watches them. Yeah.
Murderers!
Murdering swine. Yeah.
That's it, murdering swine.
One thing to notice is that except for seeing the poacher have his mummy sandwich, you don't see any actual on-screen deaths. They all happen right after we cut away.
Oh yes.
Because
it's going to be more gruesome than they can
film. Yeah. The director Patty, what was her name?
Russell.
Patty Russell was very concerned. She wanted things to be scary but not gruesome.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, sorry, I was
They came up with the mummy sandwich thing on the spot as they were filming because she noticed while they were filming that there was an unexplained thing with the poacher. He wasn't proclaimed dead at any place, so they added his death. But it does make for a continuity error when the doctor's counting out how many people have died.
Okay.
Yes. I noticed.
That's right. So, Scarman Marcus gets shot, and that sort of bit where the smoke goes back into him.
You have a text message.
Yeah.
I know, it's probably from work.
I do like the backward shot of the smoke.
And obviously they reverse that, but they did a fantastic job of that little sequence.
But it does make me wonder why the poacher would just shoot somebody through a window.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Well, he knows that... He's killed someone. That's why he says murdering swine, doesn't he? Just before then.
So true.
He takes it upon himself.
Master,
Master.
On the making of documentary on the DVD, they run that whole sequence properly. It's probably just the same footage, but processed to go backwards from to make it the forwards that it was.
Yeah.
Because they probably didn't save that. but they show that whole sequence as it would have been. Mm. It's pretty cool as he's walking backwards.
I have to see that. Cool. I've ordered this on DVD. I watched it on Daily Motion, but yeah, I order everyone that we review just so I've got
a collection. Trying to make my podcast costing you a fortune.
Yes.
Well, yeah. did this is one of the ones that Netflix actually has streaming. Mm. So no one watched it that way?
No. I have a Daily Motion app. I automatically go to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I've seen it before. It's funny. I didn't think about it this time. Yeah, I went to Daily Motion also.
There's an awful lot of Fourth Doctor stories which are on Netflix streaming. I was quite surprised when I was looking through the list.
Well, actually, funny enough. But I'd cost you money for two bars.
I got a message from Billy yesterday. He's already ahead of us.
Okay.
Yeah, he was asking me about the next one, and I was like, "So watching this one."
So anyway,
I forgot
mummies,
what the next one is.
The mummies are
Reign of
Morbius.
Yes,
the mummies are starting to build the rocket. That the doctor has already worked out that they need to build, and that they're hiding from the mummies in the TARDIS. Which leaves Sarah to say, "Well, can't we go now?"
I do like the fact that the Doctor goes, "Yeah, all right, I'm going to prove it to you," without even discussing it. He's like, "Yeah, okay, let's go in the future. I know I'm right, but I'm not going to argue with you. You're obviously in a bit of a kooky mood."
Yeah, it's good. Like that scene. Yeah. There was a deleted scene that shows the TARDIS land on the planet, which they took out. Which was only a few seconds. So they really could have left it in.
How do you know there was a deleted scene? I know there's a deleted scene because they discussed it on the DVD, but apparently I'm the only person. Oh, I thought you said you watched it on iTunes.
No, I said you can watch it on iTunes, the story. Oh. But
he
watched it on
DVD.
So anyway,
did you see the absolutely hilarious extra called Oh Mummy?
No, not yet.
Oh, you have to watch that. They got Gabriel Wolfe to do the voice of Sutek, got a guy dressed up as Sutek walking around town on his everyday life after. It's hilarious.
I'll have to have a look at that.
I'll try and find it on YouTube. I'm sure someone's posted it there, and I'll post a link to it.
Okay.
Brilliant.
So, carry on.
Nothing. I just, when I bring up YouTube to look here, you might hear it leak through. Hopefully not.
Okay. So they find the dead body of, what's his
Clark?
Name?
Clark?
No. The dead body.
Warlock.
Warlock, that's it. And it just jumped to the end of the episode just to be really annoying. Stupid machine. Right. That's just after that we see that the poacher get killed, and then the very fast mummies, don't they?
Yeah, all of a sudden.
The blood's running, and they're just sort of ambling.
Yeah, they march along.
They're still able to catch up with people.
I did notice one of them doing quite a fast shuffle at one point. I was quite surprised.
Still not fast enough to get away from someone who's running.
I was disappointed there were no outtakes of them falling. Because they apparently did trip quite a bit.
I'm not surprised.
So anyway, they get sort of rather trapped in the house, and one approaches Sarah, and is basically
long enough to
break a neck before the sting comes in. That's the end of the episode.
That's quite a long strangulation, wasn't it?
Yeah, we thought she'd be dead.
Yeah.
Across a windpipe or whatever before then. But she gets out of that by using Nameen's ring. Disables one of the mummies, because that's the one that the doctor uses as a disguise.
It's very good disguise.
Kirby will now tell me if Tom Baker was actually inside the costume or not.
Yes,
he was.
Well, master.
Yes.
In the scene where it said inside the cottage, he isn't. That's just the regular mummy, the guy who's normally inside the mummy.
Okay.
But in the scenes in the courtyard, he is.
Oh, cool. I did wonder.
And that was deliberate. You can actually tell he is because of the way that the mummy walks.
Yeah.
Because he's got a very distinctive way of walking. And you should know that one of the stories around this story is that there's a school right outside of Stargroves that heard that they were filming, and they were invited to come on and watch the filming. And that happened to be the day that he was in the mummy costume, and they weren't expecting to find the doctor dressed as a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
he they were kind of upset because they didn't see the doctor, and then he took the head of the costume off and he greeted them. And so the next day he got in his normal costume and visited them at the school.
Nice.
It's a very, very famous story.
So famous, I've never heard of it.
So they're building this rocket, which looks a bit more like a pyramid than a rocket. And, yes, and of course the doctor, that's right, goes out about trying to, this is where we have the stick thing. Sorry, there's a stick at the thing. And they find the little hut, don't they? And Sarah throws the box of something or other at the doctor.
The gelignite.
Yeah, it's a reaction to it.
Blasting gelignite.
So good.
Yeah.
Sweaty
yeah.
gelignite.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant stuff. And that's what I think he uses to make the bomb, the
bilm.
Bim.
Yeah.
Bim.
Meanwhile,
it was a big bim.
The complete twit Lawrence meets Marcus and then gets killed by him.
Yes,
basically.
He tries to trigger his memory, but the conditioning is too strong.
Stupidity.
Stupid.
Yeah. His brain is dead.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem very much use, Lawrence. Really, he's got the Marconi scope. And then he has a magneto, and that's about it, really. He just causes a bit of
that's
havoc.
Right. The coordinates. He's just in the way.
The coordinates thing that comes through. You say about it being hot. Really? It's only hot in the middle, obviously, because he's holding it at either edge.
That's true, yeah.
There you go.
I know it's hot in the middle, so... Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon me, I need some more caffeine.
Grief.
Ooh, yes. Red Bull.
That's right. So there's... Sarah shoots
the
thing to detonate it, and Sutek... retains the energy from the explosion.
Yeah, I want to know, in Sarah's background, when did she ever become a sharpshooter?
She's like, yeah, I'm all right at this. Like, are you?
Yeah, well, I got it.
Good first shot.
She discussed that during the making of documentary, that she thought that Sarah shouldn't necessarily know that either.
Right.
But again, it was the director's input. Since it was a woman director, she wanted the one woman in the story to be very, very, very competent, which, of course, Sarah Jane is. And that's why she can shoot.
Of course, talking about the gun, there's a bit where the doctor says, I don't carry firearms. And then later on in the story, carries the firearm, which is like End of Time.
He doesn't. Yeah.
Yes. You're going to say nothing. He does, yeah? Okay, right. Anyway, and there's, you know, the scene where that funny scene where the Doctor and Sarah sort of come round the corner and do a U-turn.
I love that.
That is sort of the Doctor does it himself very earlier on, not very early, a bit earlier on in the story.
There you go,
Master.
Yes.
They
don't see the scarf though.
That's their own input. They made that scene up themselves.
Tom and Elizabeth had suggested that when they were in rehearsals, and they were told, no, don't do it, it's silly. But they went ahead and did it while they were filming, and of course it was accepted.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it happened twice, though.
Not with both of them. The Doctor does it himself. Anyway, the Doctor, meanwhile, sneaks into the time tunnel.
Sutek is containing it, but he can't contain it very long.
So the Doctor
long,
has to put him off by turning up at the pyramid in Mars, I suppose. Is it Mars? Because I get confused whether
he's in Egypt.
He's in Egypt, right.
Which, for some reason, I'd always thought that he was on Mars.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
I find all that very confusing, what's on Mars and what's in Egypt. Yeah.
It wasn't until it was Jeff Waddle, wasn't it, who said that he wasn't quite sure, and because the TARDIS Tavern was having discussions about it. And this time when I watched it, I realized, yes, Sutek is in Egypt, and the thing controlling him is on Mars. And there is a pyramid on Mars, which obviously we saw in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was quite confusing, but yeah, I did work out from obviously watching it this time in the script that he was in fact in Egypt. So yeah, so the episode ends with the Doctor being put in a bit of agony. I love the line when Sutek says that I could let you live for centuries in the most excruciating pain. Which was really.
He says
he'll
shred your nervous system into a million fibres. Yeah, that's a lovely line. Kind of. That was up there in one of my quotes.
Is it?
Yes.
That's right. So he eventually gets out of the Doctor that he's a Time Lord from Gallifrey in Constellation of Cerberus and gets the coordinates.
Is this the first time? Is this the first time he mentioned Cerberus?
Not sure.
Possibly.
Not sure.
I'll find out.
Oh, no.
I thought the first Doctor mentions it at one point.
No.
No?
No. Okay. No. Not after that. Not obviously during that. Not during the era of the first Doctor, because the first Doctor didn't even mention the fact he was a Time Lord.
Mm.
It was the second Doctor was the first Doctor
10, 0, 11,
to 0, mention 0, being 0. A Time Lord. Mm. The first time that Gallifrey is mentioned is in the Time Warrior. Mm-hmm. Moving back to this, anyway, Sarah Jane is unconscious, being carried by one arm. I love the way that happens with the fact that the mummy's got hold of with one arm. But why yeah. haven't they killed her? As the order is to kill all humans within the barracks.
Master, yes? Master, if you watch that, it's very, very clever. They're holding her by one arm so that she can catch herself with the other arm when they drop her. And there's also a very conveniently placed pillow for her head to hit.
Okay.
I did wonder why she didn't land with a thump. Mm. Yeah,
I wondered about that.
But hang on, what's happened here? Oh, it's stuck. Yeah, so the Doctor and Sutek have a very long conflab where the Sutek tries to get the Doctor to follow him, and then decide the Doctor says no, so he takes over the Doctor's mind, or possesses him, I suppose, so as he can gain access to the TARDIS. Doctor, it's quite good possesses. Have they squirted his face with...
I think so, yeah.
All
yeah.
sweaty. But he seems to be right. Once sort of inside the TARDIS,
sort of flaps his hands at the controls.
Yeah, they arrive, and of course the order is to kill the Doctor once they get there. So once the mummy has throttled the Doctor and his respiratory bypass system, the Sutek releases the Doctor's mind.
Squeeze.
Which you would have thought it might be a good idea for Sutek to regain the Doctor's mind later on in the story.
Master.
Yes?
Master. I love the way that they use CSO in the Pyramid on Mars.
Oh, yeah, it's good, yeah.
That was great. And also, they used CSO to make the blue flashing things on the sarcophagus in the house. Mm.
Yeah.
When it was being when the corridor was opening up.
Yeah.
It really looks like a computer effect when it really,
really
isn't.
Good. I agree. And of course,
I did find the Oh Mummy extra from the DVD, and I posted a link to it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Marvelous.
It was absolutely hilarious. And they got Gabriel Wolf to provide the voice. It's excellent. Wonderful.
So
it's very Crystal Maze, doesn't it?
You know, it does, and also Sarah makes a reference to Exelons.
She wasn't there, was she?
Yes, she was.
Was she?
She was indeed.
Yes.
And there we go.
Whose phone was that?
No, that's mine. No, my boss has just sent me a message saying that there's only 5 deliveries. I've got to do 5 home deliveries between 12:30 and 2:30.
Oh.
Yes.
I thought today was your day off.
He says there's only, it is my day off, but there's nobody to do home deliveries. So
I didn't know you did home deliveries.
Only when Bev isn't in. Bev's on holiday.
Yeah.
But I hope one of these 5 home deliveries he's just referenced don't, but aren't there any that are out of cows? Because we do 2 in Shanklin, which is like it's going to take an hour to get there and back. So
what?
How am I supposed to do that in 2 hours?
He doesn't believe us.
Yes, totally.
But the island is only...
Yeah, but if you've got, a traffic jam, it doesn't matter how big the island is, it's still going to take a long time to get through it. Anyway, yeah, so as I like the bit where Sarah gets trapped in the tube and the Doctor has to use the logic thing to... You know, to get past that problem. Poor old Scarman gets turned into a frazzle. Poor old, he's a horrible man.
But he was free at last.
That's right, yeah. And then the Doctor realised the time factor.
Master?
Yes.
Master? Actually, the actor, what was his name? The actor played...
Marcus?
Marcus.
Demon Head Master.
Bernard Archer. He was actually very... That's real acting... Not really acting on his part, saying free at last, because they made him stand there while they were manipulating the CSO and everything, because they did that live as they were filming to superimpose the head.
Yeah.
And change his head over, which is kind of stupid, but that's how they did it.
Mm.
And they didn't explain to him. He kept saying, okay, you want me to be still here? Why? Do I still need to be still? And this went on for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's in the making of And so when he actually went free at last, he was very glad that he was able to move.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's basically it. The Doctor tricks...
No, hang on.
Let me finish. The Doctor sort of runs back and sets a sort of explosive, doesn't he? He tunes the time circuit into the tunnel and then sends...
He sends the end of the tunnel 10,000 years into the future.
Master?
And basically watch Sutek...
Age to death.
Yes, Scubby.
Master, how could you ignore Eldrad?
You're talking about Gabriel Wolf?
No. Eldrad's hand holding down the pillow.
What?
What?
What are you on about?
You don't know about that?
Who's Eldrad?
Last week.
Yeah, Eldrad was last.
We know that guy holds down his pillow, but why are you calling him Eldrad?
Because someone on the Facebook page started calling him Eldrad.
Where's this hand?
You haven't seen the hand?
No.
When Sutek stands up, the pillow.
Oh, it's okay. Really fast. It's easy to miss.
When Sutek stands up, right, sat down there.
Yeah.
Hang on. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why? Oh, and there we go.
And it disappears.
What's that all about, then?
It obviously kept attaching to his clothes or something.
Exactly.
Who's that in there? Is that Horace?
I can't believe you hadn't
seen that.
No, it's too quick. It really was.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It's very quick.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
If somebody doesn't call your attention to it, you don't see it.
No.
So, that's the end of the
Master.
Are we going to time capture that
master.
One?
No. Oh, all right. Yeah, go on. Yes, Fred. Oh, no, that's your daughter. Sorry.
What was I about to say?
I don't know.
I always referred to that hand as Thang until last week when someone on the Facebook page mentioned that it was Eldrad, probably because we did the Hand of Fear last week. And so it makes sense. Why not Eldrad?
Okay, time reference.
Except
41 seconds into episode 4. There we go.
I love the way it slowly goes, I'm discreet. Going down the slide.
Now that you've seen that makes the YouTube video called Oh Mummy even funnier because they reference that. They assume by this point that everyone had seen that.
I didn't notice it. No, I was too busy watching him.
Oh dear.
I can't believe I didn't notice that.
Now I can't watch that without seeing it.
What Facebook page are you referring to? Because I never saw a reference to Eldrad on the 20 megabyte.
Oh, I wonder if it wasn't there.
Never mind. right, so, yeah, the Doctor,
end of the path,
wires up thing and kills.
Oh, yes, it's...
fortunately, yes.
Mistress?
Yes.
It's in the Andy Nunny. On July 16th at 7:21 a.m., ask, when are you recording this week?
Uh-huh.
And it's in that discussion.
Oh, my Lord, there's 16 comments. That's too many. I don't read them when there's that many comments.
That's where the question of where Sutek is came up. And we discussed that back and forth. And then Robert came on and said he's really in a BBC studio. And I said he employed Thang from the Addams Family to keep his pillow on his chair.
There you go.
And Ian Kirk said it was not Thang holding the pillow, it was Eldrad.
Marvellous. So anyway, the Priory burns down, end of story. But yeah, okay, right. Pyramids of Mars, right. It's not as good as last week's story, but only because of the sort of silliness. So there's some issues with continuity. There's some issues with feasibility to a certain degree. But on the whole, this is a proper classic. It's one of my favourite stories, again, because it's one of those... I was really tired last night and watched the first three episodes through quite easily without any eye droopings going on. So if they're trying to compile a Doctor Who story... that works really, really well. They've done that with this particular story. But like I said, it's not perfect, not like last week's, but it is really, really good and one of the best story. Don't worry about outside. I'm not shutting the window for the sake of a loudmouth neighbour who's currently fixing his reliant Robin outside. So all in all, it's a great story. What do you think, Debbie?
Again, same. I'm really quite biased towards the Tom Baker Doctor because he's my favourite and it's when I first remember watching Doctor Who. But yeah, I found it could have been a little bit, I hate to use the word deeper, but they could have gone into what Boris really wanted to stop and things like that a bit more. It was just sort of jumped on every now and then that Sutek could destroy everything.
Mm.
But it just didn't, he didn't seem that all powerful, even though he's stuck in the Eye of Horus, I understand that. But they needed to sort of really put that whole idea that he is completely powerless apart from using his mind a bit more, because he just seemed to be sitting there waiting. Mm. And I know that's what he was, but it just felt like he was just sort of biding his time rather than being trapped and fighting against that and all his plans coming into fruition, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the whole, I absolutely loved it. But it is up there as one of my top stories, but just there was a lot of things about it that I just found could be explained a little bit more.
Oh yes, absolutely. That's what I say. It's not perfect, but it's still really, really good. Kirby.
Absolutely fantastic. One of my all-time favorite stories. That's the strange thing about these 3 weeks in a row is three wonderful, wonderful stories all in a row. I enjoyed it so much when I first saw it back in the 80s that I didn't notice the inconsistencies and stuff. It was just a fun, fun story. And always, it's one that I can plop into the DVD player and watch over and over again. Mm-hmm. Absolutely marvelous. And I can't wait to hear what Mary says to
we can fairly predict that. I think the things that we found mildly annoying, Mary will find very annoying about it, I would predict. But go on then, Mary.
Well, I really did enjoy it. This is probably my third time watching it. So I was really focused. Because I have been confused in the past, as we already talked about, between, when are things happening in Egypt and when are things happening on Mars? To me, I found that, very misleading. And I did read where a lot of the continuity problems and not delving into things much had a lot to do with the fact that the script was being madly rewritten as they were filming it. That there would be major changes even between rehearsals and the final filming, because I guess the script was not up to par or didn't meet Robert Holmes's ideas of what should be going on. So the script is more written by him than by anybody else.
Louis Greifer had decided to move and take up a lecture position, and he didn't have time to rewrite it.
Oh, well, what I read was that Robert Holmes had so many issues with it that they didn't bother to tell him that they needed rewrites. So he just went ahead and did a lot of rewrites. And conveniently, the original author got the job and moved away. And I think it shows up the most in the fourth episode, because that really feels like they're making that up as they go along.
Yeah.
That whole thing with all the puzzles getting into the Eye of Horus, it really got a little tedious at that point for me. It's like, everybody is solving everything so quickly, so why did they bother doing them?
How many times has a doctor done that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Puzzles.
Yeah, it's like a safe thing to fall back on. And the only other thing I have issue with, really, is when the doctor shows Sarah the 1980, her time, if Sutek has his way. And I think, that's true of every one of these, galaxy-conquering monsters. Things would be very different. So why does he take the time to show her this time? And no other doctor has really shown.
I think it's
really
just the
shown
mood he's in for the episode.
Yes.
Well,
a funny mood
maybe.
For this one,
but, I that didn't feel right. It kind of stuck out as something that, I don't know, why did he bother doing that? But anyway, but overall I did like it. But those were just the things I had problems with. And there you have it.
Marvellous. Thank you, Mary. Right, now it's time for some feedback.
How you doing? This is Billy. I've just watched Pyramids of Mars. And what a fantastic story this is. regarded by many as a true classic from a time when the show was in its golden era, apparently. And what a fantastic description of that time of the show's history, because quite frankly, I do agree. This was a brilliant time of Doctor Who's history. But anyway, I didn't think Philip Hinchcliffe went too far wrong with his story. I thought it was great acting by Gabriel Wolfe as Sutekh, equal strong performances from Peter Copley as Dr. Warlock, and as far as the actor who played Marcus Scarman, whose name does escape me right now, how creepy and sinister did he look when he played the Sutekh's possessed servant? How scary was he? I mean, I'll tell you what, back then, when this was being broadcast in 1975, man, doesn't time fly. I remember that I was more creeped out with him than I was actual Sutekh, to be honest. Brilliant acting, I thought. Within this story, I thought, with this story being in the second season of Tom Baker's tenure, I just loved how Tom Baker put the alien stamp on the character of the Doctor. I love that conversation and that scene in the TARDIS at the beginning when the Doctor and Sarah was having a conversation and the Doctor was so deep in thought contemplating his alien aspects. And Sarah was just nattering on about the Victoria's dress. And the Doctor went on to say with his deep voice, "The Earth isn't my home. I walk in eternity." Brilliant line, and I just love how the Doctor was irritated by the fact that Sarah didn't quite get it. Not until some time later when the Doctor and Sarah discover the murder of Lawrence Scarman by his supposedly brother, I guess, and Sarah was so annoyed of the fact that of the Doctor's detachment from this this murder, and she says, "Sometimes you just don't see me," and then she stops. And the Doctor perked up and says, "Human?" And the penny drops. Brilliant stuff. I love this story. Fantastic. I love that scene at the start again when Sarah saw the apparition of the Jekyll face and the TARDIS. Real creepy stuff, honestly. I remember being scared to death back in the day when this story was first
behind
broadcast.
The sofa?
Seeing that scene. Wow. Anyway, like I said before, this is regarded as Doctor Who's heyday, and rightly so, I think, in my opinion. You can't go far wrong with the horror atmosphere in this story. A true classic, particularly with robot mummies and Egyptian mythology, and with Sutekh the Destroyer. Brilliant stuff. A great story with a great plot. This story kept up the suspense for me, and I find it difficult to fault. Again, well done. Philip Hinchcliffe, fantastic. Take care.
No, thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
Oh, he's going to complain about something now. Yes.
No, I'm not going to complain. It just reminded me we didn't discuss this about Gabriel Wolfe. Mm. Was he came back to New Who in 2006 to voice the Beast
did,
in Impossible
indeed.
Planet
yes,
Satan Pit?
Yes.
Although I do recall that we discussed that when we did those two a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Did anybody notice that since Billy brought up the murder of Lawrence, that when the Doctor wants him out of the way and gives him this little push, you know, he still kind of rolls himself over?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah,
he's so dead he could kind of reach over and roll.
Yeah. Anyway, there's more.
Well, and it always bothered me that Lawrence was kind of rocking in that chair. I know the implication is that the murder just happened.
Yeah,
but he's rocking in the chair when they discover him.
Good. Right. Feedback.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. I shall mingle with the mummies, but I shan't linger. Pyramids of Mars by someone or other. In the episode we reviewed last week, Sarah's wearing an outfit a bit like Andy Pandy's, a toy in an old children's TV series. Andy Pandy began each episode by climbing out of the toy box. Here, Sarah climbs out of a wooden chest. Where did Sutekh get the robots and parts for a rocket? Why can't Sutek control the robots himself instead of zombie Marcus Scarman? Why does Ibrahim transport the equipment to England just because Marcus Scarman lived there? Tut, tut, bottles.
Tut, tut.
What would the Doctor look like if he wore Ibrahim's fez? The Doctor says, sweaty gelignite is highly unstable. No, dynamite sweats. Gelignite was developed to solve that problem.
Don't be so pedantic at a time like this.
The house he was filming belonged to Mick Jagger. When they were looking for locations, they left not a stone unturned. The ancient Egyptian gods were actually aliens. They later got a spin-off series with the Sarah Jane character played by Amanda Tapping. Bye for now.
Yes, he excelled himself in those puns, didn't he, Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which leads us very nicely into this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Sorry.
Other people to, we need more feedback. Other people, come on. We just,
yeah, I've tried that one. It doesn't work.
I love that we get the feedback from some of the same people over and over.
Yeah.
And please,
you
I want them
we
to
have additional feedback.
Additional feedback.
On Facebook.
You bought it. Sorry.
Put a shout out on Facebook.
Try that. Tried that for 200 and blah, episodes.
Well, we'll do a video.
Doesn't work. The first time we ever got feedback, I didn't even ask for it. It was funny enough. It was episode 2, I think it was. Right, yes, Kirby. Mary, question for you.
Yes.
What's the title of this story?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Pyramids of Mars.
Correct. Well, if you'd inserted the word the, you wouldn't have got the points.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
Kirby, who wrote the story?
It depends on how you want to discuss it.
As appears on the screen.
It's Louis Greifer and
as
Robert
appears
Holtz,
on the screen.
Stephen Harris.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was still sealed in the tomb, according to Scarman?
Oh, Lord.
No, not farting noises.
No. The original... Oh.
There's a word he used.
Yes,
you're not
there
get
is.
Away.
Yeah, not pick or anything like that. The
you mean the reliquaries?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
that's the word.
Thank you very much.
Right. Mary.
Oh, master.
Yes.
They did a wonderful job when they showed the... They used good replicas of canopic jars when they made the perimeter, the force field around the perimeter. All four of those canopic jars had the proper heads... And were the proper size.
They knew, at some point in the future, some pedantic person called Kirby Bartlett Sloan would look into it.
Even though they did use the interior of a thermos bottle as the control thing inside. And although I was always bothered by the two fat sarcophaguses in one room.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
but
Mary.
That was because of the size of the mummy costume.
Yes, okay. Mary.
Yes.
When did the tomb date back to?
First dynasty.
That'll do.
You should have said the first dynasty.
Be quiet. Both Kirby.
Work.
I'm American. I say dynasty.
Kirby, when Sarah comes out of the wardrobe room, what does the doctor call her?
Vicky.
Correct. If you said Victoria, I would have docked you a point. I've just given you too many. Right, Debbie.
Yep.
How long has the Doctor lived for?
What, as he says? 700 years.
No.
No.
Everybody?
No. 750.
Correct.
See, I'm not doing very well this one. I've got no points yet.
Mary. What TARDIS component failed?
I know. Relative continuum stable.
Yes.
Jeez.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the name of the butler? I've got options if you want them.
Okay, give me options. I can probably pick it out. What?
Willis, Smithers, Collins, or Dunton?
I know.
Collins.
Debbie.
Yes.
You might get this one.
No, I might not.
What was the name of Professor Skarman's oldest friend?
That's easy.
Dr. Warlock.
Yeah.
Hooray!
The scores then, after those questioning at the moment in last place, Debbie with 2.
Yay!
In second place with 6, Mary, and in the lead, Mr. Pedantic himself, Kirby. Mary, this is your question.
Where's Matthew? We need the real Mr. Pedantic.
Right. Mary, what is the name of the man with the fez?
Oh, that's Naaman. Ibrahim Naaman?
That'll do.
Naaman.
Right. Yeah, that'll do, thank you. Kirby.
Master.
What colour ring did Naaman wear?
Green.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
What year is it at the Priory?
1911.
Correct. Reading them off now. Mary.
Yes.
What is Sutek better known as?
I know.
Oh, yeah, there's a list, wasn't there?
I know.
I don't remember.
Go on in, Kirby.
Set.
Yep.
Or Satan.
Oh, that's right.
Set was
that's
one
right.
I was
said. Yeah.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What did Skarman say when he kills Naaman?
What you said at the beginning of the podcast. I don't remember the exact words.
I don't remember the exact words. Give it a go.
Let me see if my notes are still up, because I had it there. Hang on. No, I didn't write those down, give it to someone else.
Anybody?
Is that the "I bring the gift of death"?
I'll give you a point for that, Mary.
Die, I bring Sutek's gift of death to all humanity.
Too late,
to all
Mary
humanity.
Yeah. Already given Mary the point. Yes, that's fine. Right. So, Debbie.
Yes.
What is Sutek's planet?
Osiria. Osiria.
No, I wanted the name of the planet. That's part of the name. What you were trying to say, but it's not the name of the planet. The full name.
Oh, I didn't write that one down. Yeah.
I don't know either.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, point to me then. The answer is Festa Azaris.
Spelled really? They mention that somewhere?
Spelled
okay. Yeah, they do.
P-H-O-E-S-T-E-R.
I didn't see that. I don't recall that.
Right, so, Mary.
It was probably in the subtitles, and
I didn't see any subtitles.
I just checked the subtitles for spelling.
I forgot to write that down.
Right. Mary. Oh.
Yes.
What is the sarcophagus in actuality in the story?
Oh, the lodestone?
No. Anybody?
Entrance to a time-space tunnel.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actual answer is entrance to a time-space tunnel leading to Sutek. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What blew up in the Doctor's face?
His, the tunnel when he put the key in there.
No, in the script it is mentioned what actually blew up in his face. No. Nope. Okay. Anybody? Know.
Deflection? No.
You didn't get that one.
No.
A parallax coil.
Oh, yes. Mm. One of them.
Yes. Debbie.
Yes.
Where in Egypt did Skarman find the tomb?
La, 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 la.
Yeah. Yes. All right, the scores then after those questions are in last place with 6 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 9 points, it's Mary. And in the lead, Mr. Pedantic himself, Kirby, with 12. This is Mary's question. What did Skarman call the mummy robots?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Anybody?
Services.
Services,
yes. Kirby.
Master.
How did Sarah stop herself from being strangled by the mummy?
It ran into the Marconi scope.
No. Anybody?
The ring?
Yes.
Oh.
That's right.
No.
The doctor says, use the ring, Sarah. She used the ring and stopped herself from getting killed.
After she was being
No. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Which barrier did the doctor manage to deactivate?
The deflection barrier.
Yeah, but which one of them?
The east one.
Yes, it was.
Hooray.
Mary.
Yes.
What exactly could one sneeze set off?
Oh, that gelatinite stuff, yeah.
What type of gelignite was it, though?
The sweating.
That's the one. Kirby.
Master.
When the Doctor is first disguised as the mummy, Sarah responds with, "Must have been a terrible accent." What did the Doctor say?
Accident.
Accident.
Yeah, sorry, accident. Yeah, sorry, that's me on my writing.
Don't provoke me.
Correct.
You want me to show you my notes? I've got it right here. How do I look? It
never
must have been a nasty accent.
Never mind.
That's
yes,
why,
you're right. Okay, yes,
one.
Thank you. Right, you've got the points. Debbie?
Yes.
What is the significance of the numbers 10, 0, 11... Sorry, 10, 0, 11, 0, 0 by 0, 2?
They're the binary location.
Yes, it is.
Zero centre of Gallifrey.
What you just said. Right, Mary.
Yes.
Why can't Scarman fly the TARDIS?
Oh, because yes. The trolls are isomorphic.
They are isomorphic, yes.
Ah, but they're not.
Be quiet, Kirby. Kirby!
Master?
How did the Doctor survive the attack by the mummy?
Oh, yes.
Ah.
I know.
Go ahead.
Respiratory bypass system.
That is the
words
I've got written down.
Okay. Let's try and figure out. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Debbie?
Yes.
How did the Doctor... Oh, not that one.
Okay, pass.
Yeah. What did Sarah say when the Doctor opened the first invisible door?
Just like the...
No, it's not that. Anybody?
No.
Oh, is it Time Lord Physics?
Oh, I'm going to give you a point for that. It's not what she said, but I can see where you were going down the right lines.
Yeah.
It was Tribophysics, but well done.
Tribo, yeah. And I misheard because I thought she said
I thought
time
you might
warp
have done.
Physics.
I was phonetically correct.
He had mentioned tribophysics earlier in the story.
No, I think Mary has earned that point. Thank you, Kirby. Talking to Mary, this is your question.
Okay.
What did the puzzle on the door remind Sarah of?
Oh, that's it then. Yeah.
No, I'll take it you know it then.
yes, I remember this. I don't remember.
Debbie?
Hang on a minute.
Oh, for goodness sake. You said you knew!
Similar to those in Exelon City. I couldn't remember the name of the city.
The city
of
the Exelon.
Yeah,
the city
of the
Exelon, thing,
yeah.
Although, I don't think she actually went into the city, did she?
No, I don't think she did, actually. Good point.
She never entered it, no.
No, good point.
So she was in the...
Is that what you were
saying earlier? That's what I was saying earlier on.
I thought she was saying she wasn't in the story.
No, she was there, but she didn't go in. No, that's what I meant.
Right. So she must have heard about it from the Doctor.
Yes.
There you go.
Right. So is it McKirby's question now?
Mm-hmm. Master?
Yes. What did the Doctor write in reverse on the tube Sarah is trapped in?
Oh, yeah.
Relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Don't do Hollywood. Right. Debbie?
Yes.
Which of the two switches released Sarah, the left one or the right one?
It was the left one.
It was the left one. All right. So the scores were hardly any questions
left.
Be quiet.
You can't say right. It was 11.
Scores at the moment. In last place with 14 points, it's Mary in joint lead with 16 points each.
Uh-oh.
It's Kirby and Debbie. This is Mary's question.
Mm-hmm.
How did Sutek try to tempt the Doctor into releasing him? What did he offer?
Oh, I don't that he could be, the lord of something. I don't remember what.
Nah, not quite. Anybody?
Dominion over your own, over the earth?
Oh, well, I'll give you a point for that. The word earth, I was the one that was looking for. Yeah, the actual answer is, offering the earth as a plaything.
Yes. Here you go.
Kirby.
Master.
Who directed Pyramids of Mars?
Patty Russell.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
Who wrote the incidental music?
Dudley Simpson.
Oh, my goodness. Right. One question left. Oh, it's a free for all. First one to come in with the answer gets the points. Are you ready, everybody? Stand by.
Master.
Who played Sutek?
Gabriel Wolf.
Is the correct answer. Sorry, just laughing. Debbie was frantically looking for her notes. And the results are in last place, 14 points. Mary in second place. With 19 points. It's Debbie and the winner with 20 points by one point. And all because Debbie couldn't get through her notes quick enough. It's Kirby.
Well done.
can't believe it. Things were all quiet. And he managed to stay online for the whole quiz this week as well.
Hey.
Hey. Right, it's time to welcome...
Actually I've got the computer is kind of more stable nowadays.
Oh, is it? You're broadcasting from a stable nowadays?
Oh,
Right, yes. New members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Right. I seem to remember the last one I actually welcomed was Charlotte Anderson Evans.
Yeah.
You remember that too, dear. Mm-hmm. Therefore, yep. Owen Wildish.
Besides of which, Ian Kirk told you that.
He didn't. Well, he did. I didn't see it. Nathan Armitage Dalek. Very unusual name.
Cool
and Aziza Cyberleader. Welcome, one and all, to 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join if you join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, of which we have 373 members at the moment. Shame hardly any of them listen to the show.
I bet more of them do than you think.
Right, what else we got to do? Oh, yes, Mary, let's see if we can get the sponsors right this week.
Okay, one of the sponsors is whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
You got that one right. Don't get any points for that one, but you might get points if you get the next one right.
Well, that one's easier.
Go on, then.
Lavarzi.com.
No, you got it wrong. It's Lavarzi.co.uk, so that was a shame. That would have brought you up to 16 points, but you still wouldn't have won. Right. Right, I've got a new thing. Dalek Patrol Ship and Pilot. Let's have a quick look at that. 1999. This is a highly detailed deluxe Dalek battle vehicle, and it features a real working cannon. Good lord!
Oh wow!
A real working cannon. Yeah. Don't think that
we
sounds a bit health and safety issues
that.
There.
Master,
yes.
Master, does that make it canonical?
That's not a tumbleweed you can hear outside. In fact, lock your target.
Fire
includes a pop-off armored. Flight panels and an exclusive 3.75-inch Dalek action figure.
I know what I'm getting for Christmas.
It's quite cool, actually.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And what they need to do is sort of make the cannon, as they call it, like a Nerf cannon.
Yeah.
They're lethal, those Nerf things, you know. That goes along with the 8th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver, the 9th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver, which I'm surprised it's still available, really. But I used to have two of those. I lost both of them.
You've got
a pen, have you? Yeah, I had that. I just glued the pen bit on it to make it, because it kept on falling off. Coming soon, we've got About Time 1, About Time 4, About Time 5, and About Time This Podcast Came to an End. I'm only joking. Blood Cell, which is a novel with the 12th Doctor on the front cover. That's interesting, isn't it?
And Crawling Terror, another one with him on there.
Yes. Countermeasures 3.
Oh, look, Dalek, Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, that's been out for
I know, but it's still cute.
Lavarzi, yes. I don't even have to look at their website. They do scarves.
They feed a Centauran.
Me?
Pardon?
A Centauran, Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that
it's perfect.
Yes, okay, thank you. Lavarzi do scarves and tank tops. And things.
All gorgeous.
And I still haven't got my tank top yet.
Put it on
specifically
your Christmas
list. For ladies, the Dalek scarf.
Oh, yes.
Very popular. Debbie wants one, still hasn't got one yet.
It's all right, I'll get one eventually.
And I still haven't got the season 18 scarf yet. I'd like to have it. Or the question mark tank top. So, if anybody feels that way inclined, quite happy to take it as a free gift. Yeah, so that's it for sponsors this week. And anybody got anything else to add? I did get a message from Ben saying that, you know, this is a quote in regards, you're not coming on the show, but he did say about the, I've got to close that down now, about the Monty Python thing. He said,
there was absolutely a
Monty Python
brilliant
thing? Show, loved every second, can't do show, helping Dad to do stuff today. There you go. So I highly recommended the Monty Python show. Right, next week. What have we got next week then, Kirby?
I don't know, but my daughter's threatening to come on.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, God, that will be fun. Yeah. She'll just say, I'm Isla.
I'm Isla.
I'm four.
I'm Isla. Yeah.
Bless her.
I like the pictures you posted of her dancing, or as you called it, throwing shapes.
Yeah, there was a busker down on the high street, and we stopped for a bun, and she decided to start dancing, and earned him quite a bit of money in the process.
It's just quite funny when your husband and her were in the shop the other day, and she was being Eilerish and going, "Come on, nut job."
One of the nice things we call her, yes. Nut job.
Yeah. Highly entertaining. Anyway, so anybody, anything before we...
We didn't mention what we're doing next week.
I did ask you, but you didn't ask me.
I interrupted.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay. What are we doing next week? The Morbius of Brain.
Excellent. Yay.
I heard that at Tom Baker reading that on 4Extra back. Yeah, it's really cool.
It does sound good. What date is it? I'm going to see how many days we've got left to Doctor Who. I've got my phone. I can't because the phone's in the other room. Not many more weeks of classic Doctor Who to review before the new series starts.
It's about 32 days.
Just over a month away now. So 3 more weeks.
Well, I will come up with a couple more sets of episodes we can vote on to take us up to that point.
Cool.
Oh, good. Excellent.
When are we recording?
Yes, I was about to ask that.
Good question.
It's Sunday, isn't it? Or Sunday?
Sunday?
Where's my diary?
Can we get a Sunday in here?
I need to see my diary.
Where's my diary? I don't know. I'm not sat on it.
That's because I put it in the kitchen.
Should we say Sunday for now?
Say Sunday for now, unless something crops up that I'm unaware of. But I think Sunday might be all right this week.
I think we discussed it last week, but it was all right.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Okay, we're going to
I wonder what we can do to get one of our old regulars back on.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when the new series starts, whether people start coming out of the woodwork, won't it? Reese.
And Robert is on Skype. I just wonder if he has it on all the time.
Oh, he probably does. I did try and add him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready yet, but when he
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I don't keep Skype on all the time.
Nor do I. Well, it is. On my phone it does.
Says I'm online, even though I'm here.
Yes, and by the way, it's Magic's birthday a few days ago, and everybody forgot, and he's sulking.
Oh, happy birthday, Magic!
We realised 2 days later that we'd missed his birthday. His lips been protruding ever since. He was 7 years old.
He's been farting away quietly.
Yeah, he does that every episode. He doesn't do any other time. He only farts when
protest,
we're podcasting,
isn't it? Yeah. every now and then, if we were recording this, you'd see most of the time we've got our T-shirts or something.
Because he knows it's Monday, and he knows that I've got to have his dinner.
He just wants to enrich the experience.
No doubt about
fragrant.
That. Yeah. So that's basically it for this week. Thanks for listening to the show. Back again next week with Brain of Morbius.
Yeah.
And
yay.
Until then, tatty bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.